Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And you all are in for a very, very big treat today. And we know we start off like that a lot of times. But this time, if you could see Julia and my posture as we're both leaning into the screen with our guest today, because our guest is Portia Allen, one of our favorite She Speaks Stories people. Portia obviously was our host, co-host for years. If any of you are new to the podcast, go back and listen to when we had Portia on our episodes for a very long time. Now, it has been almost a year, a little over a year, since Julia and I have actually seen Portia and chatted with her.
Yeah.
And we've seen on socials, of course, that Portia's life changed drastically.
Yeah.
So what we decided, we'll get Portia on here and we won't pre-chat and hear all the details of what is God doing in your life, girl, that we will just let you hear, listeners, exactly what we get to hear on what is new with Portia Allen and what has God up to. All right.
Yeah.
So Portia, welcome.
Oh my goodness, friends, sisters, it is so good to be with you. I cannot squeeze you enough through our Zoom connection.
I know, seeing your face just brings so much joy.
It just feels right, you know, it just feels right just to have us.
It's like your favorite pair of jeans, your most comfortable pair of shoes, that sweatshirt that you put on that just like, oh, that's what I really believe. That's what genuine friendship is like and what God provides for us in community with other people is that it just fits. It's just right. And you guys, we fit.
Amen. Because it's like, when we're together, there is such complete freedom to be exactly who we are.
Yeah.
To say exactly what we're thinking, whether it's pondering things that God is doing and not really fully understanding what God is doing, or just some angst about something happening in our circumstances and wanting wisdom. We're not in any way playing games with each other or trying to be super spiritual with each other. We're just comfortable, we fit.
Yeah.
And it is so sharpening. Mm-hmm. That verse that talks about iron sharpening iron. Portia, whenever we're with you, it's like the sparks fly because you're honest and real with the emotions and the hardships of life, but then you got the wisdom to hit sparks of new thought, new direction. Wow. New understanding, new trust of God. So enough blab. And Portia, what is happening?
And let's start with probably the biggest thing is I don't live in Minneapolis anymore. that's probably the biggest thing is that our family, we have transitioned and we are living just outside of Dallas. So it's just easier to say we live in Dallas, Texas again. Okay. And so anyone who has been along the She Speaks Stories journey, you may have heard me talk about the fact that I'm originally from Texas. I claim Texas. I'm an Army brat, so I'm from everywhere. But Texas has been the longest place that I've ever lived until we moved to Minnesota. And we were there for 11 years, guys.
Wow.
11 years.
Where are you really?
And, and when... my, for listeners that don't know this, my mother passed away almost 2 years ago. And when that happened, not everybody, but a lot of people are like, so you're going to move back to Texas? And I was like, no, that's not what the Lord has said. And so she passed in June of 2022. And, but my husband and I felt like that there was a clock over our time in Minnesota of just, we did feel that transition was coming. We just didn't know what we were going to do.
Yeah.
Fast forward, God was so, so kind, like words from other people confirming, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. They kept saying things like, we just keep hearing the word transition. change, shift, you know, like all those different synonyms for things are about to not be the same. And God was so gracious to confirm. Guys, when I tell you he confirmed us moving from Minneapolis back to Dallas, it was like every step of the way, there was not one confirmation. There would be multiple confirmations of this is, Isaiah says, whether you turn to the left or to the right, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's what the Lord did for us in making this move. And we're living with my father, which is so fun. My dad is great because the concern is, wait, is your father okay? Yeah, my dad's fine. He's doing us a favor. And
love that.
How the house is laid out, he has moved upstairs. We call it his apartment. It has everything but a kitchen. And and so we're downstairs, and it is such a joy to bring my kids home from school. And they go to the bottom of the stairs and I look to see if the door is open. And when the door is open, that's the universal signal. You can go see Pop. And they're just like, Pop, and running up the stairs and going to see him. And then me, when he comes downstairs, I'm like, hey, Daddy. I mean, there was a while when we first got here, I feel like every time I saw him in the house, I was hugging him. And I was like, I love you so much. You're going to get sick of my love.
Oh my gosh, that is the sweetest thing. And like, even if he's doing good and fine, you know, the fact that his house is full of people.
It's been really, really sweet. And then also, you know, being in spaces that are my mother's spaces has been both comforting and also hard. I mean, there definitely have been some hard times. We have the master bedroom. And so sometimes when I'm getting ready, I think about her being there and she's not there, and how many times we got ready in her bathroom together, things like that. But then when I'm in her kitchen, standing at the island, slicing potatoes or onions or whatever for dinner, I just think, how many times have I seen her standing here preparing a meal for the family, or how many times have we been in here together? And that brings me so much joy. Like, it just, I love doing the things that he did in her house. I don't know how to explain it better than that. It hurts so good. There's a connecting point of, because my mom, y'all, my mom could cook. Like, I'm okay. My mother could throw down cook. And so I remember seeing so much joy in her face preparing a meal for us or for friends or whomever. And so to be able to do that, I just like, I, whenever I feel that joy in my heart, because they're like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, thank you. I get it. I understand.
Portia, it's like you're walking in her footsteps, you know?
100%.
She modeled one way of really loving people well by cooking well and by feeding them, meeting their physical need. And you're just walking in her footsteps. And of course that brings joy, because you're doing what Jesus has wired you to do. And I love you hugging your dad.
He's so funny. He receives the love. He's not super like touchy-feely, but he just lets me hug him and I kiss him on his head. And I'm just like, I love you, Daddy. And he's like, I love you, girl. And it's so funny because he doesn't necessarily tell us he's so happy that we're here, but the people in our circles and friends, when I run into them, they're like, oh, your dad's so happy. Your dad's so excited that you're here. And I'm like, he's been telling other people.
he probably doesn't want to communicate any kind of pressure that you have to stay here forever on my behalf.
Right.
However, what joy. And I love the setup where if the door's closed, I'm in my apartment. If it's open, I'm all in.
100%. That's so wise. So wise.
We watched one of the football playoff games, like the AFC and NFC championship. And he was like, what are you guys doing Sunday after church? I was like, I don't think we have plans. And he goes, well, I'm going to cook some ribs. And why don't you guys come over and watch the game? And by come over, we came up.
Come on over to my house.
Okay. It was so fun. When we left, I was like, well, we better get on the road. You know, we got to get home. And
we got a long commute. Oh,
maybe traffic.
And guys, not only like we live with my dad, but my husband's family lives here too. So the boys have access to all of their grandparents and cousins and their uncles and their aunts. And that's such a gift. We haven't had that for years, for most, for all of their life, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so to have that back has been really, really special.
What a blessing. When anybody ever asks me about living the military life, mm-hmm. I always say, of course, there's pros and cons. And I focus more on the pros, but the mm-hmm. biggest con was not being around grandparents, cousins, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles. That has always been a sorrow to me. Now, any life has pros and cons, of course. Yeah, 100%. But I love that.
When you say any life has pros and cons, often when people say, how's it going being back in Dallas? And I said, you know, it's been a lot of good and a lot of hard, which is life, right?
Yeah.
That's no matter whether it's an exciting thing. And for those of you like, what about the church? The church we were part of is River Valley Church. They're doing amazing. We've had the opportunity since we've moved to go back for different ministry things. I've had a couple conferences that I've gone back to Minnesota to be a part of, and that's been such a blessing. And I wondered before going, is it going to feel weird? And it wasn't. Yeah. It was just a joy. It was just a joy. It felt like home, kind of how we started our conversation of the sweatshirt that just fits perfectly. That's what it was like being back. And am I missing the proximity that I had to those relationships I had for over a decade? Of course. But it felt so good to be there. And when I tell y'all, they sent us off well. Okay, so the boys and I came in December because I wanted them to be settled before they started school. And then Clinton and I, his last official Sunday leading worship was Sunday, December 31st.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
Wow.
And then we stayed the night at a hotel and left on this new part of our life on January 1st, 2024. Tell me God's not a planner. Tell me that God didn't do that on purpose.
That gives me chills. Chills.
Tell me when he said, forget about the old. I'm doing something new.
Yes.
Happy New Year. And your whole life is going to be now, Portia.
It's new. And we really enjoyed becoming reacquainted with the space where we lived before. Dallas has changed a lot in the last 11 years. And kind of redigging some wells and some relationships, and then also forming new relationships. And so for those that you might be asking, well, what are you doing now? I essentially am doing the same thing, except I only occasionally am with the She Speaks Stories crew as I am right now. I am not formally a part of the team anymore. We made that change about a year ago so that I could pursue some other things. God has just been so gracious in opening doors for me to do different types of ministry. And so I couldn't continue to hold on to She Speaks Stories and do these other things. And you guys were so gracious, Katie and Julia, of just blessing me to pursue what God had put in front of me.
Well, we don't want to have you leave. We hated that, but we also saw the goodness and we're like, we can't be greedy. Other people need some Porsche in their lives. So,
and I was just reading a book called A Man Called Peter. He, you guys are shaking your head. He was the chaplain for the United States Senate for years and an incredibly powerful preacher, leader, godly man. But anyway, prior to him coming to Washington, D.C., they were in this church in Georgia, and they loved it, and the people loved them, and it was growing, 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 growing. Then they get this call to Washington, D.C., and here's the line that what happened to you, Portia, makes me think of. Peter Marshall said, you not only have to be called to something from God, You have to be called away from what you are doing. And if you don't have both calls in place, there's going to be some confusion, some regrets, some. So I view it like he definitely called you away from his stories gently, then called you away from, you know, maybe some other things because he was calling you too.
Yeah.
And then called both you and Clinton away from Minneapolis and that church because he was calling you too. Something new. So we get that. And we love that. And the plans that we have, like Julie and I wanting to hang on to, those are not God's plans.
They're okay. So Proverbs 16:9 says that we plan our way, but it's the Lord who establishes our steps. And then there's another proverb. I'm gonna have to look it up to get the reference correct. I think it's Proverbs 24:4, but don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. But essentially, it's very similar. It says, the Lord directs our steps. So why try to figure out everything along the way? Which is, my mother-in-law called and shared that verse with me. And I was like, why are you all in my business? Yes, I receive it. But God is so good and kind. And I've gone back to that whenever I have felt anxious about next steps. God has already planned it. So why am I trying to figure out everything along the way? My job is to take the next step, to take the next step. And Katie, I have to tell you, when not long after mom died, we were talking and I said to you, Katie, I'm just trying to hold tight to Jesus. I'm just trying to hold tight to Jesus. And you said, oh, sweet girl, Jesus is holding tight to you. Mm-hmm. And I have said it in teaching and speaking places. I've said it to myself. I've said it to individuals because I think when there's a lot of change, whether it's through loss or moving or whatever, that it's really tempting to strive and be like, I have to hold on to the Lord. When scripture says nothing can take you out of my hand. Mm-hmm. And that has brought such comfort and the Lord has used it to realign my focus where I can just take a deep breath and be like, oh, I'm trying to control this. I'm trying to strive for this. And Lord, I know that you have me. I know that you are leading me. If I don't know it, it's because I'm not supposed to know it yet. If it doesn't feel settled, it's because I'm not at the place you want me to be settled yet. And I said it this most recent conference I was a part of. I say it a lot, Katie. So just know, if ever you're like, what? It's because I'm talking about you. I'm just saying what you have said to me, the wisdom that and you have said a ton of things over the years that have encouraged my heart, but that is one that is like readily available. It's, do you know the book Hind Feet on High Places?
Yes.
It's such a beautiful book. Listeners, if you haven't read it or listen to it on audio. The main character has a pouch where she keeps stones of remembrance of different things that the Good Shepherd takes her along the journey. Katie, those words are in my pouch and I bring them out when I need them to remember. I don't have to strive to hold on to God because he is holding tightly to me.
Amen.
You know, we could take it to Romans 8. Nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing.
Amen.
No evil power, no sickness, nothing. No thing can separate me from his love because he is holding tight to me. And it has brought, I can't thank you enough for being obedient and using your words to minister to a brokenhearted little girl. And I only say little girl because it's in reference to my mom. I recognize I'm grown, but she's my mommy forever. I'm her baby forever. You know,
and the sweet thing is you know this deep in your heart. They were not my words to you. They were the Holy Spirit in me coming out of my mom. Our pastor said this the other day, and it has been resonating with me. He said, when you are speaking of the things of the Lord, you are speaking in stereo because you might be using words, but if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he is also speaking. Mm-hmm. And your words are this loud, but the stereo part comes when the Holy Spirit lands those words on someone's heart. and can speak loudly to someone's ear. So I love that portion. Oh. Goodness.
So I reference, you know, I share that story often, Katie, when I'm speaking, because I'm still doing that. I'm still going to conferences and retreats and churches, and God has been so faithful to allow the invitations to match the margin that we have in my personal life and then in my family, that it's a really good rhythm. My husband is not, people think, oh, you moved, so you're on staff at another church. We are not. We are currently a part of Shoreline City Church. The pastors are Earl and Onika McClellan. They're amazing, amazing, amazing. And we felt the Lord's direction of be here, be a part of this community, rest, heal, learn. And so an active lesson that is happening in my life right now is to walk into spaces where I am not known. And I came home from church one Sunday and I was frustrated. I was like, God, I know that going to church is not about how I feel per se. There are feelings that we feel joyful, whatever. And I was like, but I'm exhausted when I come home because I'm trying to like figure out where the boys are supposed to be. I'm trying to figure out where the bathroom is, like all the things that you just know when you're at a place for a really long time. And also, like, people don't know my name. And the Lord, he was so kind and so gentle. And he was like, Portia, you have wrapped your identity in being known. Because prior to Minnesota, when we were in Texas, people knew my parents, people knew me. There are lots of realms where I am known, not just because of things that I've done, but simply because of the family that I've been born into. And so when he said, you've made your identity, you've tied it to being known, he was like, that's an idol. And I was like, oh, Holy Spirit. And something, and twofer in this lesson, he goes, when I convict you, it is not me saying to you, man, why can't you just get it right? When I convict you by my Holy Spirit, it's, I love you. Let me show you a better way. I love you. Can I have that thing that you're carrying? I love you. Let me help you stand back up. And so I came away from that. And it's something that I did my bag of, even if no one knows my name, God knows my name. Mm-hmm. Not only does he know my name, his word says that my name is written on the palms of his hand. He knows me. It doesn't matter if anyone ever knows my name ever again. He knows me. And that is what is most important. And so when I feel I just want to know where everything is, God, I thank you that I am known by you. And again, you are directing my steps. I eventually find the bathroom. It's a circle. If you just keep walking, you'll eventually find a bathroom, right?
And, soon you got the routine down.
Yeah. You know? But and so,
that's the kind of stuff you can learn quickly and then fit in that way. But Portia, it's a season of loneliness too, isn't it? I mean, in a way. And Julia is getting ready to move again for what, the 18th time, Julia, 36th time? What? And I very, very much remember every single move. Mm-hmm. There is such a stretch of loneliness because mm-hmm. you are used to being known, and you're in charge of this, and you're doing this, mm-hmm. and you're doing that, and you know everybody, you know stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you move away and you are back to ground zero. But I'm wondering, Portia, and I know the answer to it, but I'm going to ask it anyway so you can tell our listeners. When you are lonely mm-hmm. for the people of the world, do you mm-hmm. find a new intimacy with your Lord Jesus?
100%. I have, I feel like in this season, I have been more honest with the Lord of where I am, because I think what I sometimes do is give the Sunday school answer, if you will, even in my prayer time, like he knows. And so rather than do all of that, and he started doing this even before we moved there. I don't even remember what was going on, but I remember being in a Sunday service and it was worship. And I was like, God, I feel like I just have crumbs. And I was like, if you will have them, you can have them. Mm-hmm. And the peace that flooded my heart and my spirit after giving, because I thought I needed to bring him, I wanted to bring him something grand. I wanted to bring him something great. And he's like, I will accept what you have, because when you give me all that you have, even if it's crumbs, because you are giving me everything, I will receive that offering. There are other times when I can bring something different, but I have been in and out of a season where all I have is a broken heart, disappointment, sadness. I miss my best friends. You know what? I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm going to give you what I have, because you are all I have. And you are the one who makes all these other things worthwhile in the first place. And so the closeness has come because I, for the first time in a really long time, am just being raw before the Lord, you know, of just, and I like have tried to get there. You know, when you go swimming and you want to sit on the bottom of the pool, you have to like let out all of your air to stay mm-hmm. down, because, you know, it just, you are buoyant and you start to float. But if you blow out all of your air, you can stay down on the bottom. And so I'm using that as just a picture of like, the Lord's like, give it all, blow it all out.
Yeah.
And stay here with me in this place that is uncomfortable, because you can't stay on the bottom of the pool forever. You'll die. It gets uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for long stays at the bottom of the pool, but so the metaphor breaks down.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. No. And like permission to do that, like mm-hmm. even in the uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. to trust that he's going to supply you with the air you yeah. need.
Yeah. And it, you know, you guys may know this about me. I tend to be kind of a bubbly person, you know, some more or
what?
Less.
Huh? Really. What?
Definitely on the more side than the less side.
But even in that, to be that is what I'm not, that it's okay. And I'm not being disingenuous to who I am. This is just of God, you're good. I'm not feeling stuff today, but I still acknowledge that you were good. No matter what, you were good and you were faithful. And I'm leaning in differently. Mm-hmm. I'm desperate to just be with him. And part of it is because I don't have the meetings that I used to have, because I'm in a different location, right? Physically.
Of course. Of course.
And so I feel as if he is showing me how to rebuild margin and how to refill my life. Mm-hmm. And so while I get to go and travel and speak, and that's so fun and I love it, I really do love it. I'm so thankful that I get to do something that honors the Lord, but that also he allows me to have fun. What a gift.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because, you know, there's some things we do them out of obedience because they're the right thing and they are not fun. But what I get to do for a job is fun.
And it's your sweet spot, your gifting. You feel the Lord's pleasure when you do it, because you are bringing hope and wisdom and joy to other people. And I can picture you just having a blast. But I can also picture you sitting in that church where you don't know anybody quite yet, and you're not working, you're not serving on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And I know when we switched churches after going to the same church for 20 years,
yeah,
and that those first months felt so uncomfortable. Like, shouldn't I be ushering?
Right.
Shouldn't I be? Blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
He's like, child, would you rest? Would you just rest? Mm-hmm. And learn. Yeah. And that another quick thing out of that book that I was reading, Catherine Marshall, Peter Marshall's wife, mm-hmm. she was sick for 3 years and the doctors could not figure it out, blah 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 blah. Her prayers were, heal me, God, heal me. I've got to get well so I can serve you. I can work. I can. God finally got through to her that the prayer that was going to be answered was a prayer of relinquishment. Am I saying that word right? Mm-hmm.
Relinquishing.
And stop. Stop with your plans. Stop with how you know you should be out there serving the Lord, but he just needs to make you well enough to go do it. And mm-hmm. God is saying, trust me, rest, relinquish. The minute that came to her mind, she let go mm-hmm. she let go of that pressure to beg him to make her well so she could get out there and do what she needed to do. And she felt such a peace that was beyond comprehension, such a rest. And now, I mean, I love this part. She got better.
Yeah. It is amazing when we stop striving for things, how many things fall into place. Yeah. You know, something that that I've really enjoyed. And hear me, listeners. I'm not saying that there's not a space to work, because there is. I mean, Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So there are things that we do. And also, just side note, factoid, work was before the fall. Adam was put in the garden to work the garden before the fall. Work is not a result of sin. Work is something that God placed within us. I mean, Jesus even said, my Father is always working. And I only do what I see my Father doing. You know when God rested on the Sabbath day, the first one, to set an example, because we need rest. Ooh, that's a new thing we're doing. We're practicing Sabbath as a family.
Oh.
And it's been really fun. And also the Lord's like, it's not something to achieve, Portia. Cause I'm like, I don't think that one went really well. No, you'll try again next week. We got to practice.
I don't think we did it right, Lord.
Yeah. And he's like, you're okay. It's a process.
You're okay. You're practicing the way, not performing how to walk the way. That's a kind of a Mark Comer. My sister Tommy, Portia, said, Kate, striving and contending are two very different things.
Yes. Oh, that's
striving
so good.
To please him and walk out this faith, it is kind of a dependence on you contending for the goodness and the glory and the works of God is a whole different thing, because it's welling up from him, from his power, from your love for him, not for, and I love that you reference kind of false idols, because that's what I fall into. I'm like, well, what are people going to think of me if I'm out on those front lines, just serving. Okay. Well, that's an idol. And that's going to be striving for your reputation instead of contending for the faith. I don't know if that makes sense.
Anyway. No, it does. It does. So, okay, we've moved to Texas. We're at church. We're resting. We're learning. The boys are growing. My boys are so huge, guys, which is what children do. And then, this is probably the most thing that's kind of a big deal is recent, and I'm going to say a couple years ago, I started a consulting company with a friend. It's called Imago Dei Consulting. And Imago Dei means the image of God. And we get that from Genesis, that says God created, he was like, let's create man in our image. And so it says that he created them in his image, male and female, he created them. And one of the beautiful things that we get to do is to help churches and faith organizations and sometimes secular spaces to have conversations around diversity and belonging. We're helping them rediscover these conversations through a biblical perspective, because unfortunately in culture, conversations about these things can be very condemning, very shame-inducing, very, if you are not a person of color, you're the problem, and that is not the heart of God. We want to have the conversations of, it's not about kicking somebody off of the table and replacing them with a person of color. It's about expanding the table. It's about adding more chairs. It's about looking in the environment where God has asked you to steward and say, who can we invite? Whose perspective can we hear? How can we make sure that we are meeting the needs of everybody who is represented in our body? It's kind of like, think of a good soup. You know, we're still in the time of the year where the weather can be cool at night or rainy or whatever. A soup would be pretty boring if it was just one thing. Now, you might go, tomato soup is just one thing. No, it's not. It's a good heavy cream. It's garlic.
Yes.
It's pepper. There's all of these ingredients that come together to make this beautiful, warm, and inviting thing. You don't like tomato soup? Let's go to beef stew. Okay. You got the meat, tomatoes, potatoes, green beans, sometimes peas. Oh, just amazing. You got to have the flour to make the roux so the soup will be thick enough. Whew. I'm also hungry, so forgive me for all of them.
And now we all are.
You know, but all of those things come together to make a very beautiful product. And that is what we get to do as people. I believe that the message that we carry at Imago Dei, it has a direct impact on the gospel. Because one of the things that we talk about is equity, and equity can be kind of like, ooh, it is consistency of opportunity, not of outcome. We can't control the outcome, but we can provide opportunity. And equity is just removing barriers. It's just making the way plain so that if you will use glasses, I'm looking at Katie, she's wearing glasses. I'm wearing glasses right now. Julia, you wear contacts?
I don't, and I haven't needed my glasses because my migraines have not returned. Side note. Yeah.
Let's go. Hey, that is
Julia,
a really great story.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you need to tell the listeners really what happened. It's so beautiful.
Basic story, and then we're going to go right back to Portia.
Yeah, we'll go right back.
Okay, I've had migraines since end of high school, early college years. Completely connected to my vision. And basically whenever I had too much that day, a migraine would hit, which is fine when you're in college, but it's not fine when you have four children. And it was getting very hard. I would have sometimes two a month, sometimes more. And it was the kind that I had to be in bed in darkness, no noise, no light, like none noise, any sort of noise was like needles getting poked into my brain, and they would last 12 to 48 hours depending on the migraine. So fast forward a few years, Portia and I are chatting after an episode, and she asked me, how are you doing? And that morning before we recorded, I was getting all the signs, the blurry vision, so I couldn't see out my eyes to start. I knew it was coming. And I could do the recording really quick, and then I was going to go lay down. And I was like, actually, I'm fighting the symptoms right now. And she was like, oh my goodness, let me pray for you. Someone prayed for my mom, who also suffered from migraines, and God healed her. And so I was like, oh my Lord, if this could be the answer, let's do it. So Portia prayed for me. And it wasn't like instant cloud was gone, but the symptoms did not become a migraine. The blurriness was there, it faded away, and I have not had a migraine since that prayer. And it was over a year ago.
Praise the Lord. He's so good, faithful. He's so good and faithful.
Over Zoom call. Like, you don't have to be necessarily touching, laying hands. Yes. Like, that's a good bonus, but like,
yes,
God can work over Zoom, guys.
I love it. He's a Zoom God.
He's a Zoom God. Working through Zoom. Oh, I love that story. And Portia, I'm so sorry I interrupted. You were going to make a point.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not wearing glasses.
I wanted our listeners to hear that.
Well, we're talking about equity and removing barriers. Whether you wear glasses or you don't wear glasses, we make provision for that. You know, so that people can get what it is that they need. And that is the message of Imago Dei. We want people to have what they need so that they can hear the gospel. And for some people, you know, if there is a hearing impairment, it's making sure that there is someone who has ASL, there's an ASL interpreter. For some, it's like we allow them to sit closer so that they can hear. For some, it's providing earplugs when they come to church. Because today's culture, church music and worship is loud, you know, and those are very simple examples of providing what is needed. It gets a little bit bigger when you're like, okay, if your congregation looks a certain way, well, then what do your leaders of your serve teams look like? What do your leaders that are calling the shots look like? What are the leaders who are influencing culture? What do they look like? Do they represent the people that you're serving? And so we get to come alongside. One of the things that we say is we walk with you. We're not just like, do this, do that, because every situation is different. And we know what God is doing, and we look to see, okay, God, what are you asking us to do specifically in our context? Because that's what's really, really important. You know, when we have workers that go overseas and work in different cultures, they work to learn the culture, so that they can be a part and they can add in. They don't go expecting the people that they're serving to be like them and to adopt their culture and how they do things. In the same way, that mindset would serve us in the American church and the Western church of like, we are in this world, we are not of this world. And so there are things that we can do to make it, you're invited, we welcome you in. And so sometimes it's representation, sometimes it's in music that we choose. A lot of times it's just in decisions that are being made. How does this impact this particular community? Listeners, there was a time I was talking to Katie and Susan and we were talking about just church programming. And they're like, we don't do church on Wednesday nights because of where we live. It would not be beneficial because of traffic and the commute. By the time people get there, they're going home so late. And so you shifted the need, or you shifted what you were offering because of the need of the people. That's all diversity and belonging really is recognizing that there are differences and what can we do to invite people in. So what we've done, we do coaching. The first connect is always free. We do coaching. We just launched this year, the spring of 2024, we have launched an online course because while we love doing training in person, we recognize that that's not sustainable. And so we've recorded our training, our foundations course. It's a 5-session course and we highly recommend it for teams and leaders. And that's available on our website. We are imagoday.co. I know it'll be in the show notes.
You betcha.
And so, it has been such a gift and a joy to watch people go, this used to scare me. I used to not want to have these conversations. But now I think if we will stay in the lane of we want to be like God, we are image bearers. And how can we invite other image bearers in? Then we get to do something different and new in step with the Spirit of God that is amazing. And then all we're doing is pouring into what John talked about in Revelation. I saw every tribe, every nation, every tongue singing worship to the Lamb of God. And so we get to do that now. We get to pour into that now. And so
Julia and I are like, we got goosebumps.
Chills. All that was fun.
Spirit bumps.
Praise the Lord.
Worship is so needed today. Mm-hmm. So needed in our fractured society where people are really stumbling around. They know Jesus has said, love one another. Mm-hmm. They know it. Mm-hmm. But the enemy is roaring, seeking whom he might devour, telling people, you just love these people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to love everyone.
Right.
Just your little.
Only where you're comfortable. Love where you're comfortable.
Yeah. If you're uncomfortable, it must not be God.
Right. Exactly.
Because he said, love one another. And he says, neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Gentile nor whatever the other opposite. Jew or Gentile, sorry.
Yes.
Greek or Roman. Male or female.
Yes.
It goes back to the soup. Who wants to have just straight up garlic soup? Ugh.
Right. And each of those, or let's take it to the body. Romans 12. Hands, eyes, feet, ears. All of these have unique things. The hand's not going to stop being a hand, but this hand without the body is useless.
And creepy.
And creepy. I mean, what is that? The Addams Family? Where they
just the hand comes out of the body. Of course, that's creepy. I love that you're doing that. I so love that you're doing that. And I'm just curious, is your link on the North Star Women's
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I'm gonna ask because our podcast now comes underneath North Star Women's Ministries. Mm-hmm. And what you're offering is just so beautiful. So I'm gonna check on that.
I'll make sure you guys have that. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, yes, make sure. And listeners, I just hope you caught all that. And I know that many of you that have listened to the podcast for years, you already deeply love Portia Allen and trust whatever it is she's up to is being led by the Holy Spirit. And it might be something you want to get in on. So Portia, any final words of what God has done in you, through you, for you in this past year that has included so much change.
So much change. I think just remembering that he is always with me. He is always for me. And that is not true just because I'm Portia. That's true for all of us. And just walking in step with him. And sometimes that means going slow. And, you know, Porsches are fast cars. And I tend to go fast. In this last year, I've had to slow down and just be like, okay, Lord, what are we doing next? And it has been the richness that has come in my relationship with him of just, it's about him first. These other things are extra.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, amen. Find him. Find him and you find everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. On that note, listeners, I don't think we can add one stitch of it. That beautiful ending. We love you all and hope you've enjoyed reconnecting with our beautiful Portia.